This is the Life Manual for 20-somethinghood, where we dive into the uncharted waters of post-college life. Because let's be honest, college left a few chapters out. Regardless isn't just a word here. It's a mindset that sparks a growth journey. As your host, Skylar Sorkin, my mission is to arm our generation with community, competence, clarity, and confidence, empowering you to seize control of your own life steering wheel. This podcast is the compass for 20-somethings navigating the complexities of adulthood. Don't just listen, evolve with us. Your future self will thank you. Regardless, you've got this. This podcast is presented solely for educational and entertainment purposes. The podcast is not intended or in substitute for a licensed therapist, physician, or professional life coach. Okay, let's do it. Welcome to Regardless, Phoebe. This is the Life Manual for 20-somethinghood because college never quite covered it. I'm your host, Skylar Sorkin, and today we are diving into the Life Manual of Wellness. I'm thrilled to introduce our guest today, Phoebe McPherson, an educator, herbalist, and co-founder of Nature Knows Holdings and Function. Function addresses common challenges like poor sleep, chronic fatigue, and mood imbalances, offering natural solutions through mushroom elixirs. Their products not only solve these issues, but also empower individuals to live their most abundant lives. Phoebe and Function bring a wealth of knowledge and a unique perspective on nature-inspired wellness, aligning seamlessly with the core mission of our podcast. Regardless of wellness trends, how can we allow more softness and flexibility into our routines of structure? And quite honestly, the stories, the stereotypes, the boxes that social media is creating every single day as we scroll. So Phoebe, I am super, super jazzed to have you on Regardless. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And what a beautiful intro. Oh my goodness.
Phoebe, I'm super, super happy that you're here today. And not only because I'm obsessed with your product Function, it's seriously game changing, you guys. It has resolved really pretty much all of my anxiety and my habit of getting into fight or flight every day, especially having a task-oriented and very high-performance brain. Highly, highly recommend her products. And I will, of course, add the link to purchase in show notes. But I just wanted to applaud you for creating a product that is so holistic, but still is supporting mental health awareness and all things medicine.
Totally.
Yeah.
Thank you. As you were saying that, what was coming up for me is, you know, all of modern medicine comes from plants, right? And how beautiful is it that we collectively as a society are starting to honor plants and mushrooms in their natural form again, alongside Western medicine, right? You know, there's something that we say over at Function is, you know, there's ancient wisdom and modern science, and the truth lies somewhere in between. And I really feel that on a daily basis. I think, you know, modern science is just starting to catch up to ancient wisdom. And I think there's pieces of modern science that, you know, built on ancient wisdom, you know. So what we take from that, whether it's through something holistic, such as a Function tincture, the Khan elixir, or, you know, through your own exploration of like SSRIs, I think it's all beautiful.
I love it. Yes. All the links will be in the show notes. And the story that we're going to be unraveling today, I think, goes hand in hand with this product. So I'm excited to see what we uncover here. But I remember when we first started talking, Phoebe, one of the things that we totally had in common was, first of all, we're both high achievers, high performers. You started your career, and I want to hear more about it, in a 9-to-5, which makes us even more crazy in fight or flight, and triggers a lot of things that perfectionists have already. So I think before we get kind of into more of the questions that I have today, I would love to understand, especially in your early 20s, did you experience a phase for striving for perfection? And or did you have this feeling to follow a certain routine every day to be considered well or successful or enough?
Yes, absolutely. So first I'll say right out of college, my focus was on journalism. So I was always kind of anti 9 to 5, and I was very much like thriving in a place of chaos, right? To be a journalist, you're like always on, you're always on call, you're writing stories as fast as possible, breaking news, all of that. And then I kind of came to this screeching halt by falling into, you know, the corporate 9 to 5. And there was a part of me that definitely wanted perfection, but at the same time, I was struggling to understand like where I fit, right? Like, what does my like life look like when I feel like I'm a cog in a machine? What does my life look like when there's only so much that I can control? And when there's only so much, we tend to over control those certain pieces, right? And I think that's where a lot of perfectionism can come in. And a lot of that came into like looking like the perfect corporate girly, you know, doing all the things that I wanted to do, things that look good on paper, like going to the soul cycles, going to the happy hours, dressing a certain way, looking like, you know, I'm fresh out of Madewell. And that was really, really fascinating for me to go through, because as I was going through it, there was a part of me that knew like, this isn't you. And yet it didn't feel comfortable to step away from that, because it felt like society was telling me that that's what I needed to do. So yeah, so that's kind of where I started my early 20s. I tried to find routine, and I think the biggest routine I found was just going into workouts. I was traveling a lot. I moved cities like 3 times. Like, I had a crazy early start to my 20s. I was in a relationship that absolutely did not serve me. So there was kind of all of this like instability. And then it was, you know, later in my mid 20s, when I kind of had this like spiritual awakening, for lack of a better word, that I started to really find the stability. And I started to wake up of like, okay, I need to be in alignment with who I am. And if I can do that, everything else will fall into place. And it absolutely did.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. When, like, how did you have that aha moment? I know you were working, you were in journalism, and then you were working a 9 to 5.
Yeah. Corporate marketing.
Corporate. Yeah.
Yes. Agency, that sort of thing. And basically what was going on is I was like 24, 25.
Okay.
And I remember looking around, like, you know, metaphorically, like looking around all my coworkers and people I'm working with, and I wanted no one's job. No one inspired me. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this is the rest of my life. No one inspires me. Like, what am I doing with my life? And I had no idea what I was doing with my life. And I remember like crying, like hysterically crying on like a road trip with my partner at the time, being like, I can't do this anymore. No. Like, I can't go back. And nothing changed right there. Stuff started to change about 2 years later on like my 26th birthday. But it was in those 2 years that I started kind of shifting things, making moves, better, like looking at what I wanted. I think subconsciously starting to take note of what will not follow me into these next years. And I will say, I think one of the biggest things that is different between me and maybe my little sister, shout out to Louisa, is when I was her age, early 20s, I didn't have the confidence to say like, this doesn't feel right and I'm not going to do it. And I didn't have the confidence to say, I don't care what society thinks. And my sister absolutely does it, and she crushes it. And anyone out there that's in your early mid 20s, like, if you don't feel like you're in alignment, it does not matter what anyone else says. Like, at the end of the day, you being happy and proud of who you are and excited about what you do every day when you wake up is what matters more than anything else.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. Like, if we actually break it down, we are the ones that are in our bodies. We are the ones that are experiencing life. So why would you put yourself in a job where you dread waking up every day? You know that your talent is not being leveraged because the passion isn't there. So ultimately, it really doesn't make sense. And
exactly. And yeah. I do just want to say on that.
Give it to me.
It doesn't make sense. Absolutely. And I think there are beautiful moments where we take a job because it's a lily pad. Yep. It's allowing us to make money. It's allowing us to find our next thing without throwing ourselves off a cliff. Because yes, we all want to work jobs that we love, but that doesn't mean you should end up homeless because you're like, I'm not going to work. No. Use those lily pad jobs and take comfort and solace in knowing this might not be forever, but this is going to be a lateral step where this is going to help me get to that next phase. That is totally okay.
Phoebe, I've never heard that before. I love that metaphor. Lily pad job. Exactly.
Yes.
And this is something my mom and I have been talking about a lot. And I really do love my 9 to 5. It's a great, it's a beautiful lily pad job. It's allowing me access to networks I would have only dreamt of. It's allowing me to learn, interact, and also at the same time, I'm also able to fuel my, regardless, my podcast, my passion. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with having a job that's bringing you financial stability. You're still learning. It's helping you get to the next lily pad of growth because we're always evolving. But also sometimes when there's more cons to pros and it's negative to your overall well-being and mental health, that's another thing. But I just wanted to thank you for laying it out there because I don't think people realize that actually having a 9 to 5 and being a corporate girly is something spectacular.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love financial
Are you
stability? Who doesn't love
kidding?
access to resources? All of it. I think often, or not oftentimes, but I think sometimes in, the world of the internet, we can see like, oh my gosh, you just need to quit everything, sell everything, make this massive life change, and it's all going to be okay. And that's not for everyone. And
Nope.
that is totally okay.
Today, I really hope we're able to dive into the reality of
Yeah.
the world we're living in, especially in social media, the reality of the wellness culture. And I'm seeing that we have words that we say as 20-somethings, like the corporate girly or the wellness girly. And I'm coming to realize that these words are not connecting us whatsoever. In fact, they're separating us. You know, as we all know, stigmas, stereotypes are ways to disconnect us. And I think that the niches, the even like hashtags sometimes, or the ideologies that people associate themselves with in terms of identity and stick to and use in their vocabulary every day are actually making some people feel not enough, less than, not connected. And I'm seeing this a lot on social media with being a part of the wellness girly trend or a corporate girly. And sometimes it leaves me to feel like, am I not enough if I'm not considered a wellness girly? Like when I look at myself, I see, okay, Sky, like I probably have like 5% of a wellness girly, but I also have a 9 to 5. So that means I'm also a corporate girly. And I also love fashion. So does that mean I'm a fashion girly? And I'm also like, don't mind going to the grocery store looking like a homeless person. So, like, where does that leave me? And I think it's honestly this complete disconnect. And it also fosters a very, very rigid routine for girls who are trying to be a wellness girly. So I just wanted to throw this out there and pick your brain on all this shit.
Yeah, I think the archetypes that exist can feel very polarizing and very exclusive, no doubt, right? And I think that they've come to the surface at a time when people are so desperate for connection, right? And anything that we can do to classify ourselves into some sort of way that we can build community or find community, I think sometimes that's where it comes from. And yes, I think there can be a lot of toxicity around it, right? I think when we look online and see like, okay, well, if you are a wellness girly, you have a 2-hour morning routine, or you do this specifically, or you do that. And the narrative show or the narrative is weaving the story that if you don't do that, you're not a wellness girly, it can be absolutely toxic, right? And I don't know what the solution is, but what I can offer is you get to be part of every archetype and stigma and girly that you want to be. And you get to find what works perfectly for you as your human being. So if that means you want to be a wellness girly from 4 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then you want to be a corporate girly and shun the wellness side, and on the weekends, you are the like sweatpants chic DTLA girly, great. You get to exist beautifully as who you are. And I think the more and more that we share that out with the world and we see that reflected back to us in media, I think, just the better confidence will be across the board, and the more hope I have for, younger generations. Because I always think about that, like a future daughter, my little sister, like what they're growing up with, and how that might impact them.
Yeah, it is concerning when you think about bringing life into this world and there's such boxes that are being created all over. We are all dynamic human beings with so many talents, and we can exist in so many ways that it doesn't have to be just one idea. I mean, we're
Exactly.
breathing, we're living, we are a daughter, we're a sister, we're a best friend. I mean, like, we're human. And so that doesn't consist of just one niche.
Exactly. And I think part of it comes from, the courage that we have to step into our power, to soften into our power, and to remind ourselves that all of these archetypes get to exist, but they do not have to define who we are. There is so much out there for each and every person, and the more and more you can come back to yourself and what feels good to you, I think the more those stigmas and the archetypes and what we consume on the media will kind of melt away in terms of invading our psyche.
And you can just be you, and that's
Exactly.
enough. You don't have to be classified as anything besides you. You are the only version of you that is so unique and powerful. Yeah, it's a real thing though, because I find myself, Phoebe, like getting triggered a lot just by scrolling. And even, when you're building a business or being a content creator or even just a regular 20 something, and you don't feel like you fit the mold completely,
100%.
it can be anxiety inducing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's this delicate dance of like really understanding like what can I consume that's inspiring me, but also how do I not consume or do I unfollow when it's not serving my highest purpose, my highest good, right?
Absolutely.
It's tough. Like I would love to be like, yeah, it's easy and like I don't think about it, but I absolutely think about it,
Of
right? Like
course.
I'm in the wellness space on a daily basis. Like I'm in, Venice of LA and California. It's kind of like the Mecca. And at the same time, when you get down to it, you're in these circles of like wellness girlies and corporate girlies and everyone, but everyone's just their own unique, beautiful being. And at the end of the day, that's what people really care about. Like the interactions day to day and who you truly are carries so much more weight than anything you do online.
And I think there's something to be said about having and being around people who are all different. And
Absolutely.
I'm seeing like more and more, especially like in my late 20s and living in LA, and especially being in Venice. I'm sure you're used to this, but a lot of the events that are thrown are for specific niches, which obviously makes sense. So like there's wellness events, and I'm hearing more and more from some of my girlfriends that they're not feeling pulled or drawn to go to these events because they're finding that it feels very clicky. And I feel like that's really getting far away from what wellness actually means. And of course, we're human beings and we want to feel like we belong and we're a part of a group. And also, there is a sense of power in being a part of an exclusive social group. I mean, there's a reason for why Soho House exists.
Exactly.
But I'm just curious, like, what the world looks like if there was a place and groups where people could just exist with having talents all over the spectrum, whether it was wellness or whether it was, I don't know, fashion to sports, like all the things. But it's just interesting to see these groups pop up, and it's doing the opposite of connecting people.
Totally. I mean, on that point, it's one of the reasons I love coffee shops and hotel lobbies and airports and
Love.
working from them, because it's just a melting pot of everyone. Like if you're in an airport and you're working at 4 p.m. and you're having a coffee and you're next to someone who's been at the airport for 6 hours, like no one cares who the other person is and you're all in there together. And there's such beauty in that to me. Like I love coffee shops where, at least in LA, like I could be working next to someone who's writing a screenplay and they have like eight awards. And I'm working on a mushroom company, and someone next to me is doing something completely different. And we all just get to coexist in this beautiful, I don't know, melting pot,
100%. I
right?
could not agree more. I can't even tell you how many times that has happened to me where I've met amazing, amazing people, whether they're mentors and friends in my life from an airport, one of them, or even like Dudley Market, like at dinner.
It's wild.
Kind of going back from your experience, being heavily involved in a 9 to 5, this is something that's really interesting to me. But I know you, of course, experienced a very rigid structure there. And fast forward to today, what were the steps that you took to make that shift?
I will say I'm still making that shift.
Okay,
One
love
of
it.
the biggest things that I think I'm always working on is balance and finding balance and also defining what that means. I think sometimes we think of balance as like every single day has to be balanced between work and play. And sometimes it means I have 2 weeks of just work and then 2 weeks of play right after. And like that can still be balance. But in terms of shifting, I think one of the biggest things is when I was still a corporate girly, I was deeply unhappy at my 9 to 5. And so I joined an all-female community, The Wing. It was an
Oh, I've
all-female
heard of the
co-working space.
wing.
Yeah. So I was a
Amazing.
member of the San Francisco location. Then I joined the DC location because I'm from DC. So I'd go back and forth. And that was like my first piece of like experiencing midday balance, where I would tell my boss, like, hey, you don't need me physically in the office. I need to go to the wing and just co-work. And like, it's going to make me feel so much better, can I? And he'd be like, okay. And then my best girlfriend, shout out to Becca, she worked with me at the agency and I would steal her and we would go together. And it would be so nice. It'd be the middle of the day and the wing is like all pink with like these beautiful beauty rooms and all these women like co-working together and there'd be happy hours and speakers. And I just felt like, wow, I can breathe. I feel like in this amazing energy of women that I haven't felt before. And then like that was kind of like the beginning rumblings of, oh, I don't have to do things that feel so out of alignment. And I started finding more and more balance. And then it was when I quit my corporate job and went full time into kind of the mushroom space, I was traveling full time. So it was like the complete opposite.
Oh
I was like
yeah.
skiing and snowboarding all day and then doing like fun mushroom stuff at night. And, you know, I was definitely working really hard, but there was so much fun in travel. And I remember feeling so guilty. And my partner, Ryan, at the time was so encouraging of like, just rest, just play, just have fun. And if I didn't have that person reflecting that back to me and pushing me into this moment of play, I don't think I would have gotten there. And I don't think that I would have experienced so much play that I remembered, okay, now let's come back and kind of find the in between.
Wow. It's so interesting. It seems like you had to experience the complete opposite of
Totally.
what rigidness, fight or flight, stressing out every single second of the day, especially in an office in agency world. And then for you to luckily be with a partner who probably had a little bit more of that play within him to push you to get there. And then
Oh my
you
gosh,
like,
yes. His entire life was play. He was
How
like, I don't
lucky.
care. I want to go and do something. I was like, okay. He's like, I want to go spend a month in Mammoth. And I was like, okay, great.
Do
Let's go
it.
do it. And I remember we were doing some formulation in R&D for something, and he was like, oh, we need to play. And I was like, okay. And he books us onto this jet ski tour from Long Beach to Catalina for the day. And he
How
said, this is what we're
fun.
doing for the day. And I was like, okay, cool. And it was so encouraging and playful and spontaneous. And we were so grateful to have like jobs and, you know, this incredible business that was supporting us in doing that. But you're right. Sometimes you are so deep in the structure that you need something to rip you out of it. I think the same can sometimes go for like us in, you know, states of sadness or anxiety or fight or flight, where we feel so comfortable in that state of stress, in that state of anxiety, of creating that chaos, that we need something to completely rip us out of it. To really understand, like, oh, I'm safe. I don't have to feel anxious. I am safe. I do not have to create chaos or create these narratives that make me feel safer.
Phoebe, would you say that our society, and especially as 20 somethings, because we are addicted to our phones and
Yeah.
consuming content all the time, would you say we're addicted to being in fight or flight, addicted to stress and routine?
I think many of us are. I can't speak for society as a whole, but I think we're seeing it more and more. I think there's a lot of stress addiction. I think there's a lot of drama addiction, a lot of chaos addiction. You know, when it comes to when we look at the psychology of it, it can come from like, what did our childhood look like? And then you couple that with, you know, this dopamine hit that we're getting from our phones. And, you know, anyone in their 20s really grew up with a phone, and we're getting that again and again and again. And we just need these constant hits. And so then, if you're not already addicted to stress or chaos, maybe it does, you know, move into that where we just need something constantly going on, and we're not able to find that stillness, which is where routines can come in, right? I think that's why we're seeing this crazy emergence of wellness and of kind of rigid 3, 4 hour wellness routines because people are craving stillness. They're craving feeling at home in their body. They're craving feeling better or just feeling, right? So you can kind of understand both sides of it. Like, yes, we're becoming more too rigid in some ways of like these new wellness routines, but also it's because people need this complete 180 of just being hit with dopamine all the time, and that was making us sick. So it's kind of interesting when you look at it at that macro scale of people kind of going back and forth trying to figure out, okay, what's going to make me feel better? How do I feel better? How do I feel like I can function? How do I wake up every day and feel really good about who I am?
It's kind of trippy when you think about it because it is a spectrum. Like, I agree with both sides. I'm so happy that we have social media and wellness girlies and influencers to provide 20 somethings in the world with information to get connected, tap into what's happening internally, and focus on ourselves. I love it. I appreciate it. I think I'm coming in as like a voice to fine-tune things where it's information is beautiful, but I think we all have our own bodies and we're going to have our own routines or maybe not routines that work for us.
100%.
Because it does not become wellness when it's constant or it becomes obsessive or restrictive or every day, or even people just defining themselves as wellness. To me, how can that be well if that's embodying every single aspect of who you are and your identity?
Well, when it's impeding your quality of life, right? Like that is not wellness anymore. Like you said, it's obsession and it's addiction. And a point you said so beautifully about, you know, this addiction that we're seeing around like quantifying everything. Like, what does our Oura Ring say? What does our Apple Watch say? Like, how many hours of sleep did we get? Like, how many calories did we burn? And like the biohacking side, like how many hours in the sauna did we do? Are we doing it every single day? If I didn't do my sauna and I didn't get 8 hours of sleep, it's going to be a bad day. And like classifying ourselves in such rigid boxes and structures can be so conducive to a really awful state of being.
Horrible.
I can be quite opinionated here, but I've had so many conversations with people who say, like, well, if I wake up and my Apple Watch says that I didn't get enough sleep, I know it's going to be a bad day. Or if I didn't get all of this in, it's going to be a bad day, rather than saying, like, hey, like, you know, this week I didn't get all my steps, or like I didn't work out on Tuesday, but it's okay because I was resting my body. And there just needs to be this softness, right? Like I know there's this love of like everyone's training like an athlete and you're meditating like a monk and all of this, but like where is that ability for us to just exist and not have to again put ourselves into more boxes and structures? Like you don't have to train like an athlete, you don't have to meditate like a monk.
No.
If you can only meditate for 2 minutes, that's totally okay. You are still absolutely worthy of wellness and feeling better and being you and feeling good, right? I think if I allowed myself to be ruled by the wellness structures that I see on the internet, I would have combusted.
I mean, Phoebe, like I did, like, and I still am going through my own thing and I'm getting a lot better at it. Like, the voice is getting a lot quieter. And I know I've spoken about this in my past podcast, but even I think like it's a cycle, you know? So when I was like 21, 20, I experienced anorexia. And that was because I had my tonsils out and I lost like 15 pounds. And then I started getting tons of compliments and attention from how much weight I lost. And people are like, how did you lose all this weight? Like, what's your secret? Blah, 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 blah. And personally, as the receiver of that, it ended up being extremely negative for me. It actually started fueling and feeding the eating disorder because I was getting all of this attention. And I think what I'm seeing sometimes with influencers, and I'm not saying this to tear down any influencers, I'm just saying this to consumers and to my followers who are not influencers themselves or even are. Remember that what you see is not the full story. What sometimes I think happens is influencers are also addicted to some sort of routine that they are then putting out there on the internet that other people are seeing, and then they think it should be a part of their narrative, when there's really
Yeah.
not this full picture around it. And I know firsthandly that I experienced that, and I probably wasn't posting things that were necessarily healthy or something that other people should do, even though it looked like it was wellness.
Absolutely. One, thank you for sharing. And
Yes.
two, I'm so happy that you feel more in touch with your body and in love with your body, or at least that's what it seems. And yeah, I think a lot of women and men go through stages of, receiving feedback about something that's changed about their body, and it ends up fueling some really toxic behaviors. And then we put it out there because we're receiving the confidence, the
Yes.
positivity, so we want to put it out there. And no one's to blame. No one's a bad person
No,
because of it, but
no.
it's more just a product of society. And I think one of the things that I've always been sad about seeing, and I used to post this because I was like a food influencer, was of what I eat in a day, not understanding how toxic it can be when people try to repeat it, because everyone's body is different. How much you're moving, your metabolism, how old you are, all of this is so different. And we've seen this trend away from it of like, I'm not going to tell you what I eat in a day because everyone's different, or like,
Yep.
I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a dietitian, I'm not going to tell you what to eat in a day. And so we're seeing these glimmers of people realizing and coming to terms with like some of that toxicity. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. It can be really difficult to watch, and also it can be really difficult for young 20 somethings to experience as you're going through it, because sometimes you don't even realize what's going on
No.
unless you have a mirror reflecting it back to you.
100%. And all of that is also feeding still rigid structures, restrictiveness.
Totally. And it feels safe,
It
right?
does feel safe.
Structure
Feel
feels
safe.
safe. Routines feel really safe. And like I said, people want to feel good, they want to feel better, and they want to feel safe, right? When you feel safe, you are not in your fight or flight. When you feel safe, you are in control. And like that is the biggest thing that at least I'm thinking about on a daily basis. Like, what does it mean to feel safe? What does it mean for other people to feel safe? And when we've felt so unsafe for so long, that is when we get into these like addictive behaviors of like, oh my God, I need to do something. I'm desperate for safety. I'm desperate for stability.
And maybe even desperate to be in control, because
Yes,
if you don't
exactly.
get your workout in, if you don't walk 10K steps a day or eat to your, eat the same meals every day, then you're not in control anymore. But I think we have to break that down even more. Like, what does not being in control mean? So what,
Exactly.
you don't hit your 10K every day?
Totally. I just want to offer this
Yeah.
because neither of us are psychologists or
No,
psychiatrists or
no.
doctors. Like, if you are struggling with feeling in
Yes.
control, know that like talk therapy, psychedelic assisted therapy, group work, there are so many amazing options out there to support you in this. Like, I've done an incredible amount of psychedelic assisted therapy, of trauma therapy, somatic therapy, and it is incredible. And finding something that works for you that is supportive and acting as an ally to your journey is hugely, hugely important. Because so many of us in our early 20s, not everyone was as lucky as Sky to have a therapist as a parent.
I know, I know, I know.
Like seeking out forms of therapy that help you feel better and help you better understand yourself and feel like you're having healthier patterns is so hugely important. And there are options for everyone, there are price points for everyone. Know that they're out there.
Phoebe, thank you for sharing that. We are not on this planet Earth to do it alone. Use the people
Absolutely.
around you. People want to
Exactly.
help. Also, storytelling is huge. That's why I love podcasts. I think you
Yes.
come on here to listen, to understand that you are not in this alone. We all feel it. We're all going through it. And
Yeah.
especially leveraging professionals that know what they're talking about and can actually give you resources and steps every day to feel more safe. Please use that.
Exactly.
I just wanted to ask you a question because I think it's always helpful to learn from the guest speaker. But do you mind like opening up with us about some sort of
Yeah.
personal experience where the pressure to fit in as either a wellness girl mold, I don't want to say hurt your mental health, but maybe was a difficult one to go through?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The first example I can think of is just me being in this like modern wellness
Yeah.
space, with Function, but then also with my previous plant mushroom company, where I didn't get acne until I was 21. And it was really horrific when I first got it. I thought I was having an allergic reaction. I remember covering my face up with makeup and all this foundation in my early 20s because I had to go to a corporate job. I ended up quitting a corporate job because I was so embarrassed by my skin. It shot my confidence because I'd never had it before and I didn't know what was going on. And this was like pre my wellness like era, right? As it got later, and with my previous business, mushroom business, my partner made me a formula for my skin called Glow. It was incredible. Yeah. Shout out to Ryan, Hearthstone Collective, the Glow
Ryan sounds like
formula.
a badass. He
Yeah, he was
made you this
really,
formula?
yeah. And then we put it out on the market to start helping with my skin.
That's a
And
beautiful.
it was really beautiful. And I remember being in this space, being, selling all these formulas, being in the mushroom space, speaking, and being so embarrassed that I had acne, being so embarrassed that I didn't have abs, that being so embarrassed that I didn't look a certain way that like the wellness girl is supposed to look. And I remember, even recently, like I've done a lot of healing with my skin, a lot of healing with my body. And it's slow work because, I'm using herbs and plants. I'm not using, pharmaceuticals. But I remember being at an event and a woman, not maliciously, but came out and was like, "Oh, you really need to get your acne fixed because what are people going to think when you say you're an herbalist and you're in the wellness space and you have acne?" And again, she wasn't saying it from a malicious way, but it shot me to my core. And this was like less than a year ago, and I was going through like a bad breakout. And I'm already struggling with like, do I need Botox? Like, no, all of this. And
No.
it just made me so sad. And I remember going home and just like crying myself to sleep. And at the same time, like that doesn't need to define me. The pressure to fit in and look a certain way can definitely be overwhelming. And that was really, really difficult. It's not okay, and it's okay because moments like that remind us like we are more than what other people think. Like we get to control how we react to that. Like, yeah, I cried and I was so sad, and I woke up the next day and I was like, I'm good. I didn't resort to who I was when I was 24 when I would take on the makeup and like hide out. I washed my face. I didn't wear makeup, and I went to the office and I drank my water and I did all my things, and I just allow it to move through me and start to address the core issues of it, but don't try to put band-aids over everything on a daily basis. Don't try to suppress it. Allow it to just be.
Wow. Sometimes people open their mouths up when they really shouldn't. But I think it goes to show that sometimes mean comments like that allow us, it's a spiritual assignment. I think you for sure grew from it. And regardless of that comment, you still showed up, creating even more tough skin for you. And it's not who you are. It doesn't define you, exactly what you said.
Yeah, exactly. And it's part of the society that we're in, right? It's a part of like the wellness space, and some of it hurt and was really sad, and also like it gets to like move through me, right? Like it gets to move through me, and I get to like move on from it. And again, like I don't think she was coming from a malicious
No.
space, and you can also hold space and think like, okay, well, what has her journey been like that she felt like she needed to address that? What has her experience within the wellness space been like, where maybe she has been rejected because of something that didn't look a certain way?
Absolutely.
And you can just start to see how, we are just a symptom of like this bigger issue,
Yeah,
systemic issue, rather than
100%.
people being bad.
And oh, of course. Yeah, of course. And if anything, it's probably she's projecting because it's maybe something that's close to home for her. And you never
Exactly.
know where the comments are stemming
Yeah, you
from.
never
But
know.
I'm proud of you. And I think that experience is a great pathway into Function. I know obviously Function is a wellness focused brand. How do you guys ensure that your products and branding promote genuine well-being rather than adding to this pressure for perfection in the wellness space?
That's such a good question. We're working on it every single day.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think one of the big things is that our branding, our website, how we show up as a brand isn't very like people focused. It's very educational focused. It's very nature forward. So we're focusing a lot on telling stories about the individual mushrooms and the individual plants. We're telling stories around the organizations that we're supporting. We're telling stories around what's actually in this product, rather than straight lifestyle images of people taking the product with like perfect skin and all of that. And that's kind of been some of our approach. It's
Yeah.
felt, just really honoring of what we're creating and really focused on, like, we want you to feel sovereign in your ability to choose a product. And if that means you don't choose our product, that's okay. But we are here to help you feel better and to help educate you rather than just push our products down your throat. And, staying true to that sometimes can feel a little difficult. And at the end of the day, it's what we believe in. And I think that guiding force has allowed us to stay really genuine and integral to who we are and what we want to put out there.
Oh, and that's just a reflection of you. I mean, I feel like on an individual level, aside from function, that is how I see you navigating the world. And that's something very inspiring to me, and that I hope for all of my listeners today, and even influencers out there and wellness girlies, that you're able to be authentic and unique, and not everyone is going to like you, and you don't have to stay on the same rigid structure every day to be enough.
Totally. Totally. And I think just know that if you're whatever you define yourself as, you get to have your bad days and you get to have your good days. I run a mushroom company, a plant company, a nature company. Well, I'm in the wellness space and I have the days when I am crying myself to sleep, and that's totally okay. I'm allowed to experience the full spectrum of human emotion. I'm allowed to have days where we go, a little too far into like just pushing sales and we don't get it right. Like, that is human. Like, being perfect is imperfect, right? And being imperfect is perfect. I think that's one of the biggest things that I try to come home to every day and think about. It's when you're connecting with nature and plants and mushrooms, you're connecting with yourself, right? You're coming home to yourself. And it's easier, I think, for you to find that stillness, right? When everything starts to become clear again.
And stillness away from the phone, away from it.
Exactly. I will give a quick shout out to Open, and they have amazing, like, even 5-minute meditation. So put your phone maybe 5 feet away from you, but you can st it's they're a great place to start if you need good meditation or just things to help you come back to stillness. They have an amazing, like, 3-minute breath that's for anxiety, and it can be really amazing. I take it alongside my calming
I
tincture
love
if I'm having a
that.
really bad day.
Phoebe. Oh my goodness, how are we at the mark? I'm going to quickly introduce you to Syllabus Step. So this is a time for us to break down the key takeaways from our discussion, to really understand your story more. And regardless of wellness trends, the pressure to be perfect, how can we allow more softness and gentleness into our life? So, do you mind quickly sharing any specific podcasts, books, mindsets,
Oh my gosh.
activities that support you in cultivating flow?
Yes, great question. So first, the Open app. They're
Okay, I
really
need to check
amazing.
this
Shout out
out.
to that. And then also shout out to Grace Whitlock. It's at Good with Grace on Instagram. She's a soul cycle instructor and also a breathwork facilitator. And she has like 2-minute reels on her Instagram. They're absolutely amazing. And her class is like church, if you believe in like the religious sense. But I'm bringing that up because coming into a class or a workout and beginning the day with some sort of like intense movement where I can just come back to myself and be in my body and not think about anything else is so massive for cultivating flow and stillness and just feeling really good on a daily basis. 5-minute journal. So it's called the 5-minute
I
journal, but
love
I'll
the 5-minute
literally just
journal.
okay, shout out to everyone. Everyone loves it. Sky loves it. I'll even do it on my phone and type it out, even if I don't have the physical book, because I've like memorized like what the prompts are.
You're amazing.
Just to be consistent with something, because like I come back to it and I think about it and I'll go back and I was like, where was I in this state? And I'm like, oh wow, like I was really going through it, and like, oh, I actually manifested this. And like, that's been really amazing. And then the other big thing is getting into nature at least once a week, whether I'm going down to the ocean and touching my feet in the sand and the water, or I'm going to Topanga and hiking, going snowboarding, but like really getting deep into nature for me, like that is my happy place. That is where I feel good. And making that a priority has been massive. And then finally, for like a daily routine flow, I don't have massive daily routines because I kind of feel into what my body needs on a daily basis, but I always do the 5-minute journal. I always do some sort of like walk or workout first thing, and then I always make a morning drink. Always make a morning drink. Sometimes it's hot water and lemon, sometimes it's a latte, sometimes it's a matcha, but I use that time to like tap into my body and say like, what do I need? Am I feeling really anxious? Am I feeling exhausted? And let me fuel my body in that way throughout the day, whether that means I'm starting the day with the mushroom elixir from Function or some other herbs or plants. It's this check-in that allows my body to speak to me instead of me speaking to my body. And then from there, we can move forward in this beautiful, harmonious relationship.
Oh, I need that more in my mornings. I like how
I
you
invite
give
you to
yourself.
practice.
I like how you give yourself like 5 to 10 minutes to figure that out before feeling like you have to immediately get into routine, even if it is a workout. Because sometimes
Yeah,
maybe you should
exactly.
work out at night or in the afternoon. Maybe
Yeah,
it's not always going to be
totally.
every morning.
Exactly. Like, find what works for you. And, like, if you have the ability to have structure and that's what makes you feel good, go for it. Like, and remember, it's when it feels too obsessive and too rigid when you might want to rejigger it and take another look.
I love it. I have maybe two more questions because
Yeah.
this is, I want to know this from you specifically.
Okay.
But if you were able to go back to your 20, younger 20 something self, maybe when you were having that meltdown in the car with your partner on the road trip, what is one thing you wish you could tell yourself at that moment?
Oh my God. It does not matter what other people think. If you are not happy, that's all that matters. It does not matter what other people think, and you will figure it out. Yeah, 100%. Me caring about what my parents thought, what family would think, what other people would think, what kids from high school would think, held me back so much in my early 20s. And if I had just not given a fuck, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now, but I also love where I am right now. So I'm so grateful for that journey. But if you can take anything, young 20 peoples out there listening, ladies, do not care. Put yourself first, please. You will be so happy that you did.
And men, we love you,
And
men, as
men,
well.
sorry.
I know
Across the
this one,
gender spectrum, we love you all.
we love you all. This one was a little bit more catered towards women, I have to say, but for
Yeah.
all the men listening out there,
And
this goes to you as
non-binary,
well, and
all of
non-binary,
you.
all of you. And then the last question,
Yeah.
fill in the blank. Regardless of blank, I am blank.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. Okay. I think, regardless of the daily stress of building a business, I am tender and soft and loving to myself and the world around me.
That was it.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Regardless. If today's discussion sparked a mindset shift, we want to hear from you. Join the conversation on Instagram and TikTok at Regardless of Pod and share your insights. You can also find me personally at Skylar Sorkin on Instagram. For more transformative content, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you loved what you heard, leaving a review and sharing with your friends helps us reach even more 20-somethings on their journey. New episodes drop every other Monday of each month on all major podcast audio platforms. Remember, your path is unique, but with Regardless, you're a part of a community navigating this transformative decade together. Until our next exploration, our next life manual, keep evolving, stay confident, and embrace the journey because your future self is eagerly awaiting your growth. Cheers to thriving in our 20s. Stay electric.